The Richmond Theater Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theater with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Act 1, Scene 4 of Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett from Style Weekly. Today, Jerry and I are going to talk about Hallelujah Girls and The Boy from Oz, followed by an interview with Jackie O'Connor, the outgoing managing director of Quill Theater. And we will have a statement from Adam Ferguson at the Firehouse regarding American Idiot, the Green Day musical.
All right, why don't we start with Hallelujah Girls, since that's been running the longest. It's now playing at Swift Creek Mill through July 23rd. The basic story is about a woman who decides to convert an old church into a day spa, and a quartet of her lifelong friends joins to help her realize her dream.
I thought it was fine. I found it a little bit flat. It's perfectly fine. It's a sequel of sorts to Dixie Swim Club. It feels very much of the old sitcom kind of feel. One of the writers was a writer and producer on The Golden Girls. So it had a few good zingers, but mainly felt really flat for me. Didn't have quite the same heart as Dixie Swim Club, but I thought Jodie Smith-Strickler was a standout. I thought she was pretty hilariously dour.
It was the writing trio behind the Mill's popular Dixie Swim Club, like you said. And it definitely has the feel of a sitcom. This time, I thought it was even broader. The perky group, they ably delivered every punchline with a sledgehammer. None of this accomplished cast is doing anything unique or original, but I will mention Joy Williams, who gets the delightful job of parading around in a bunch of silly costumes.
Joy Williams' character, a lot like Porter, which is played by Mike White. They're kind of these Urkel-esque kind of characters. They walk on the scene, they deliver a line, they just act crazy, and then they leave. They don't actually have a character so much as they're just there to stir things up.
I thought Joy was fun, even when she kind of stood there. But Mike White's character, I could see what they were going for. Probably director Tom Witt said, I want you to be crazy over the top with an infectious laugh. And I could see him trying to do it, but it just didn't work.
But, you know, while you and I perhaps didn't like it the best out of all the shows they've done down there, it's probably going to sell a million tickets. It seems to be a real crowd pleaser of a show.
Absolutely. It will appeal to audiences who like their comedy TV sitcom style.
An old TV sitcom style.
Yeah, classic style.
Classic.
Moving back downtown, Richmond Triangle Players is playing The Boy from Oz through July 16. This is a bio-musical about Peter Allen, who was a flamboyant entertainer, a prolific songwriter, a husband to Liza Minnelli, and proudly gay. As we talked about on Curtain Call a few weeks back, Chris Hester has spent a year preparing for the title role, and it shows. I thought his performance was carefully curated almost to where it was overprep. You could see the wheels turning most of the time.
I agree. I thought he was solid. Maybe he didn't have quite the oomph, but, you know, I don't think that this is a musical where the main character lends itself. He's kind of hidden, even though he's come out as gay. But a lot of the emotional heavy lifting ends up going to his mom, who's played by Jeannie Rule. She had a similar role in Cabaret last year when she won an Artsy for it. But I think it's a light, fun summer musical. I thought that Greg Garrett as Judy Garland and Anna Gray Hogan as Liza Minnelli were excellent. Great musical direction from Kim Fox. I would advise seeing it.
I agree on some of those things. I thought Brandon McKinney was fun as the young Peter, and I think Greg Garrett was really the star as Judy Garland. She's magnetic and magnificent, even better than she was when she played Judy Garland out at Beyond the Rainbow at Swift Creek Mill last season. The chorus works hard, but they're often out of sync, and the show didn't have a lot of warmth, except, like you mentioned, for Jeannie Rule, who brought those moments of emotion. And some of that was the script, kind of light and fluffy with a bunch of songs and snippets of dialogue. I thought the set was passable, but it got in the way. Actors were constantly swiveling those panels around, which really didn't add much, and they're pushing the piano all over the stage. I thought it was distracting, especially on such a small stage.
Well, I thought it worked for me. I mean, they show so many different settings in such a small space. You know, to have a chorus on top of that running around, action, and a, you know, whole piano up on that stage, you know, that it worked for me.
Okay, well, I want to mention D. Mark Seuss's costumes. They were period campy and fun, colorful, even tacky in a 70s sort of way, but of course you wouldn't remember the 70s.
I would not. But you had your own complaint that Chris Hester for the costume changes kept an undershirt on. You were hoping to see a little pectoral action.
No, it wasn't that. It was just distracting that, of course, he had to have on a t-shirt to hide his microphone pack. But it was weird because when he put on those silky, low-cut 70s shirts, you'd see his t-shirt under it, which ruined the whole purpose of those shirts, pecs or not.
I think you just wanted to see his chest.
We'll leave it there, okay? Interestingly, Fred Kaufman, who reviews for GayRVA.com, went back and saw the show 2 weeks in and posted that he thought it was a tighter show and that Chris was more relaxed and better. And that brings up an interesting point. We generally expected to see a show on opening night or weekend so we can get our review out there and theaters can promote or publicize it if the review's good. It does present some advantages and disadvantages. There's opening night adrenaline, which is in the audience and on stage. It can create excitement. By the same token, the show may not really be ready on opening night, and nerves might cause it not to work as smoothly.
Yeah, if you see a show at the closing night, it's a very different show than it is from opening night. You know, a show is a living, breathing thing. You put 5 more weeks of time into something, it's a different show. And, you know, sometimes the critics, when we talk about it, we like to say, well, when did you see the show? Did you see it opening night, or did you see it later in the run? Because they can be different shows.
Yeah, that's a word of advice to anyone who hears any of our reviews. If we didn't like it as much as you did, maybe we saw it earlier when it wasn't quite settled in. Jackie O'Connor left her position as managing director of Quill Theater on June 30th. She played a major part in the creation of Quill, which was a merging of Henley Street Theater, where she was a founding member, and Richmond Shakespeare. Jan Powell, Quill's artistic director, will assume additional responsibilities under her new title, Producing Artistic Director. Earlier this week, Jackie gave Curtain Call an exclusive interview. So, Jackie, back before I started reviewing again, you started a little company called Henley Street.
Yes. Our founder was Alex Privatera, and there was an article in the Richmond Marquee, which Lisa Catula still writes, and he was talking about founding a theater company here that would be dedicated to the classics. And I had just rolled off the Swift Creek Mill board and was looking for a project. And so I made a phone call to him, and I believe a few nights later we were having dinner at Barksdale Theater. And by the end of the evening, we were partners.
Let's fast forward to Henley Street merging with Richmond Shakespeare to create Quill. Talk about that process a little bit.
Henley Street was in its sixth year, and we were approached by the wonderful folks at Richmond Shakespeare. And the backstory about that is that the community had actually been encouraging us for a number of years to come together. Jan Powell had just come on board as their artistic director. So it was a really kind of a perfect fit. I think really together we're much stronger than we were separate. And I'm looking forward to seeing where Quill goes after this. I think this is an exciting time for the theater company.
Speaking of where Quill's going, where's Jackie going?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it has been an amazing 10 years for me. And I'm going to take a little time for myself.
Maybe another trip back to Italy?
Oh, my gosh, I would love that. But no, I think I'm going to stay local and just do a lot of reflecting and looking at the things that I love to do. I'd love to get back into acting a little bit. I've missed that.
Let me just point out that 2 seasons ago, you were awarded an Artsy for your performance in Good People.
And then, of course, I did a little show with you as well.
Yes, my one play in 40 years at Richmond Triangle.
That's right. So. Regrets only. Yes.
And as we know, you can make a tremendous living as an actor in Richmond.
Well, that will be my whoopee money. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to doing that and possibly getting back into teaching. I taught for Spark for 12 years and really just enjoyed that experience as well. I'm hoping that there's some wonderful new adventure for me on the horizon. And the other thing I think is I do absolutely see myself staying involved in the theater community. The people here in this community have been so kind to me, the mentors, peers, and I want to give back in whatever way that is.
What would you say is one of the things you're most proud of, whether it was at Henley or at Quill?
That's a great question, Jerry. You know, I'd have to back it up and say that I think my journey with Henley, Richmond Shakespeare, and now Quill really began when I moved to Richmond 30 years ago. When I started working for Barksdale Theater back in the early 90s, Pete and Muriel and Nancy, the founders, taught me so much about the theater art and what was important. Their patrons were their family. I watched them nurture those relationships, and that is what I took into Henley and Richmond Shakespeare and to Quill. And I think that that is the thing that I'm most proud of, is that this was never a job for me. This was a dream. And part of that dream was connecting with the community. And when I say the community, I don't just mean the actors and the designers and the volunteers, because they're all amazing and wonderful. But the patrons really are family. This community is very special. People who support the arts here are generous. And I have just so enjoyed getting to know so many people along the way. And you never lose that. Those relationships stay with you.
And that's a skill you'll be able to carry on to any venture from here on out. Good luck, Jackie. We'll look forward to hearing about it and maybe even talking about it on Curtain Call.
Thank you, Jerry.
One final note. A personal emergency led to the cancellation of the original opening of Firehouse Theater's American Idiot last week. In a mutually agreed upon decision between John Minx and Firehouse, Minx, who originated the role of Johnny, will leave the show after July 1, and Denver Crawford will take his place for the remainder of the run. Crawford also replaced Minx last summer in Boy in the Bathroom at Firehouse. That's Curtain Call for this week. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett from Style Weekly.
See you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, go to the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website, rtccva.com.